Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the sanctuary. It's great to have you with us, as always. This week, a little bit different. So on Sunday, typically for the last few months, I've been recording everything live as I've been giving my sermon there in the sanctuary. And unfortunately, we had a little bit of a software update. And when it finished, it actually took out our audio. And we didn't even know right away that we didn't have audio. So try as my guys might. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get the audio up and going for our online or our recording in time. However, rest assured that has been fixed. However, it actually kind of brings things home for me because I actually like being able to sit down and record like this. So I'm going to go back through my notes and everything. Of course, it's going to be a little different than when it was live, unfortunately. Because you know how I am. Sometimes I go down rabbit trails, right? But with that said, we're going to get into it. And I am recording last Sunday's sermon right here, right now, just for you here on the podcast. If there's something that's a little different, well, that's a good thing. So that's a unique. It means you're going to get a little something that, we didn't have when we were there in the sanctuary. So we'll see how this goes because, you know, it's me. Let's just be honest. All right. So again, good morning, everybody. Welcome. I shouldn't even say good morning. As some of y'all, it might be evening. Who knows? But anyway, the last few weeks, they've been really gloomy for a number of reasons, right? It was on my heart to look at something a little bit happier. And to do that, today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at a song of praise. Now, before we do that, though, I would like to give a couple of praise reports and a couple of shout-outs because I know sometimes I kind of forget to do it when we're live. I do it, you know, beforehand when we're doing our praise and worship and everything and when we're praying with each other. But I'd like to give, those shout-outs because they're due, and these are people that we need to keep, in prayer. So first up on the checklist, Rico. Rico's surgeries have gone well. You know, he's still at home. He's still recovering. He's had a couple of little setbacks in there, but nothing, too big for our Lord. But he overall, though, he is recovering well. So keep him in prayer. Also, Josh Knight also had his big neck surgery that he'd been waiting on, trying to deal with paralysis and everything, these issues he's been having. That went as well as could be. He is also at home now and recovering. And then Chaplain Ron out in Arizona, he also had a procedure done. Is back home and recovering now as well. So definitely keep them in prayer as well. There's a lot going on in their lives, and they can use it. Well, as can we all, right? Also, here in Albuquerque, we're kicking off the Balloon Fiesta, the International Balloon Fiesta, which, if you don't know, is the biggest one in the world. So keep all of our balloonists, our pilots, the chase crews, the passengers, everybody who's traveling out here just to see it, as well as everyone locally, because it does a lot. It backs up traffic and all sort of. It's a great event, but unfortunately, certain things happen. So just keep everybody in prayer that's out here being a part of this as well. It's definitely a big event, and a lot of things can go wrong, as we've seen in the past, but also a lot of things can go right. So let's pray for everything that can go right to go right and nothing to go wrong. And with that said, let's open our Bibles. Let's dive in. That's enough of a rabbit trail there. We're going to jump into Isaiah 12. So Isaiah 12, the word says, "And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and in that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. So, as we get started here, I want to point out something here. You might have noticed it's a little bit different. When we go to verse 2, it says, for Yah, right? Normally we see Yahweh. This right here is actually a very poetic way of writing it. So it actually is a way of giving reverence and still lifting the Lord's name up on high, the whole bit. It's not meant as disrespect. It is very poetic, in the way it's written. So that's why it's a little bit different, right? It's kind of like with me, right? Instead of saying Burton, it's Bert, right? I probably diminish it a little bit when I put it like that. But it's still, you know, lifting it up, and just trying to, you know, give splendor, you know, or explain the splendor and the beauty of the name. But anyway, when we come back to this, Isaiah, he wrote this hymn of personal praise. It was a day of triumph that God had used to basically put these words into Isaiah's mouth, into his mind, and therefore, you know, to the pen as it got written out. You could say that this is a song from the hymn book of heaven, right? You see, it's a strong description of the joy that we as Christians will all have within us, on the day that Jesus Christ returns to reign over the earth. All right, these verses, they're a firm reminder that we need to have an attitude of gratitude towards God. Right, we've all heard that before. That attitude of gratitude. Basically, we need to be thanking Him. We need to be praising Him. We need to be telling others, basically telling anybody and everybody about Him every single day, and remembering that it's important for our hearts to be filled with gratitude for the Lord. And I know someone's out there, you know, and why is that important, Pastor? You know, what's the deal with this? Well, you know what? Let's break it down. Let's start with a definition. When I pulled it up, looking at Merriam-Webster, Merriam-Webster defines it simply as thankfulness. That's it. Just thankfulness. However, a quick Google search actually brought up a better definition, and I'm going to share that with you now. It says, the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Now, I like that more because it's actually a little bit more accurate, I want to say. It's, you know, I think Merriam-Webster tried to be a little too simple with theirs, whereas this definition that Google returned for me, I think, is much more rounded, much fuller. So when our hearts are filled with gratitude, basically it's saying our thankfulness is running deep. It's strong. Not only that, but we become passionate, and in our love for the Lord, we find a strong desire to share the good news that is the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. We look forward to stepping out and answering the call that is the Great Commission. You know, we get excited. It's like running up to a friend with something you can't wait to share, right? It's like, Bobby, check this out. I found this great biker hangout. You have to come out. They've got all the root beer you can drink, right? The excitement's there though, right? The difference though is, you know, as Christians, we go out about it a little bit differently. As Christians, when we get lit up on fire like this, when we're fired up and we have this passion, We're more like Andrew in John 1, verses 40 through 42. So let's turn there real quick. So in John 1, verses 40 through 42, the word says, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. You see, when we're like Andrew running to Simon Peter, we're like, Bobby, check it out. I have to tell you something. This is amazing. I got to check. Dude, I found Jesus. I found him. Well, actually, Jesus found me. You know, he found me, man, and he's looking for you too. He wants to have a relationship with you too. I mean, you got to meet him, dude. He loves you so much that he died for your sin. He rose, he ascended to heaven, and he's coming back for all who believe in him. Would you like to know more? Come to church service with me at the Cross 66 next Sunday at 10:30 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Okay, I died. Little rabbit trail there, yes. But I mean, you get the point. That's the trail that we go. Like, we're pumped, right? So it's like that little kid coming home from school. Mommy, check it out. I got my first day ever. You know, I thought I was going to fail and I got an A. You know, I aced it. You know, we're filled with passion. We're excited. We're absolutely on fire for the Lord. And it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And we want to tell everyone about him, right? It's one of those things where, you know, the old term is like, go out and shout it from the rooftop. I mean, that's where we are. That's what we want to do. All right. That's how we're filled. Going back to Isaiah 12, verse 2, Isaiah 12, 2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. All right, I want to bring everybody's attention to this verse specifically, because, you know, this verse is also part of a scene in Jerome Hines' opera, I Am the Way. Okay, those of you know, I'm not a big opera guy, all right? I learned about this, and this is pretty cool, and I want to share it because it actually pertains to what we're talking about here. So Jerome Hines, he wrote I Am the Way, and it's an opera about Jesus. Now, Hines, for those of you who are like me and aren't familiar with him, I had to look him up. He was a famous operatic bass singer, and he was a composer. Now, all the way back in the early 90s, around 1991, he had already had this play out. It was going well, but he felt this weight on his heart. He felt a calling on it, and it basically was saying, hey, this opera needs to go to Moscow's Bolshoi Theater. Now, the Bolshoi at this point had never allowed an American opera to be performed. It wasn't even a consideration. All right, it was a big thing. I mean, you think about, this is at the tail end there of when the USSR was falling and everything. So it was a very chaotic time as well. So what Hines did is, having this weight, he called another opera director that he knew who lived in the D.C. area by the name of Patrick Cavanaugh. And basically, he called him up. He told him about this weight on his heart, this calling that he had on it, and basically said, hey, do you know of a way to make this come into fruition? You know, can you help me out with this? Can we make this happen? And they had a nice conversation about it. Matter of fact, it was so good that Cavanaugh himself felt this calling fall onto his heart as well. And so he's like, you know what? We'll find a way. And so what Cavanaugh did is, he got on a plane to Moscow. And keep this in mind, like I was just saying, you know, this is at the time USSR had just collapsed. The dissolution was just being finalized. So it was a very turbulent time to be over there. You know, not that Americans are exactly welcome over there today, but at this time especially it was huge. You know, it's like we weren't friends with them, you know. To put it lightly, Cavanaugh, he got on this flight and he went over on a wing and a prayer. He didn't know anybody there. He didn't speak any Russian. All he had with him, aside from his passport, was a handful of phone numbers to go over with. So he flies over, he's landed. He's truly a foreigner in a foreign land. So he takes out this list of phone numbers when he gets to where he's going. And he had four phone numbers, right? So he calls the first one. Nope, not going to happen. Calls the second one. Hard no. Calls the third number. Strike three. Nope, not going to happen. You got to be kidding me, man. No, dude. No way. Get out of here with that. No, go back to America, right? So things aren't looking good at this point. He's down to his last number. Things are looking really, really grim. This is already looking like it's about to turn into an expensive washout of a trip. So he pulls himself back. He pulls out this last number. He looks at the phone and he dials it. Somebody picks up on the other end and they're able to talk. It turns out that the person at this last phone number happened to be classmates with the current Bolshoi's director at that time when they were in school. And he's like, you know what? Let me set up a meeting for you. Let's just sit. We can sit down. We could talk about it. Ooh. So now there's a chance. You're telling me there's a chance, right? So the meeting's set for a couple days later. So Kavanaugh, he's able to go out, try to make best of his trip that's there, you know, see something he's probably never seen before. So a couple days go by, and Kavanaugh goes to the meeting to meet with these officials. And he sits down with them. He tells them about this opera that Heinz had written. And he has their attention. Things are going all right. Right? Nothing exciting is happening yet. But then he does something that absolutely blows the minds of all these people. He tells them that not only was his company willing to go over and perform this opera, but that they were all willing to go over and do it for free. That's right, free. F-R-E-E, free. This is astounding. It blows their minds. Like, what are you kidding? What? So it takes them a moment. They got to get over the shock and then come back and make sure that they heard him right. Right? So they hear it and they come to terms. And you're like, you know what? We're going to allow this to happen. Not only are we going to allow it to happen, but we're going to allow you to do it twice. You get two shows. So basically 2 years later, in 1993, you get two shows. You've got time to prepare. Oh, boy. So he gets back on a plane. He flies back to D.C. He gets his crew together, his troops, you know, and he tells them, hey, great news. This is what's up. We got 2 years to set this up. We're going to fly back over here in 2 years in 1993, and we're going to perform this opera. Just shy of 200 people flew back over to rehearse and get things ready to go. And we're talking costumes, building the sets, right? Rehearsing the play itself, getting everything down, the backups in case somebody gets sick and all that kind of stuff. Advertising, you know, the works. They're going to town. They're doing all this stuff. So fast forward, July 1993. They get their two performances. First one goes, all right, cool. Second one goes, incredible. In the aftermath of this opera, nearly 1,000 Russians gave their lives to Christ right there at the Bolshoi. If that wasn't enough, I mean, that's pretty incredible, right? I mean, that's that right there is, you know, when I gave this sermon on Sunday, I was like, ooh, amen, and absolutely, amen indeed. But if that wasn't enough, a recording of this opera was made. And it was shown a little bit later on Russian national television. So we went from never having an American play to the doors being blown off the hinges to now, not only is it being done there on stage, but it's on TV. So more people are able to come to Christ. Kavanaugh was awarded a medal by Yeltsin's Minister of Culture. The dream of Heinz that became Kavanaugh's was a vision come true. It came to life. And talk about miracle after miracle after miracle, right? God's at work. And I say all this to make a point. When we trust in God and we step out in faith and take the passion that's within us and the thankfulness that we have for Him to the world, God will use us to do absolutely incredible things, to do amazing things. Looking back at our first few verses in Isaiah 12, God has shown us His love. He has shown us his desire, and that desire for us all to be delivered back to him from our sin. And when we have a relationship with him and fill our hearts with gratitude for him, it becomes so much easier for each and every one of us to share him and to share our love for him with the world. Your love for him, your passion for him, it's infectious, right? Some might even say it's contagious, right? It's that term. You can be a contagious Christian. And because of that, it can soften even the hardest of hearts. Whether you see it or not, it makes a difference because it's planting a seed of faith in somebody who didn't have it before. When you let it flow out of you, instead of bottling it up, you become a walking, talking testimony pointing the way to Jesus. Yes, you are a walking, talking poster board. Right? It's like, well, those of you who have seen me at work or throughout the day, you know, I regularly wear Jesus shirts. You know, I like the carousel ones that are done up like the bottle of mustard and ketchup and the mayo and the relish and the barbecue sauce and all that stuff, right? And why? Because people see it and they're like, oh, that's cool. Oh, wow. I like that shirt. That's awesome. And it opens up the door so you're able to talk, right? And it's just little things like that. And when you're on fire for the Lord, something happens. You're going to say something. You're going to throw up that praise, you know, or whatever it is. Or you're going to do something that blesses somebody. And guess what? The doors are blown wide and you're able to give that testimony. You're able to talk to somebody about Jesus and another miracle can happen. Another miracle can happen. I know some of you are thinking, hey, Pastor, I don't have it in me to talk to a bunch of people. I'm not the kind of person who goes out and stands up in front of a big group. And guess what? You don't have to. How you live your life, how you talk to people, how you treat people does that for you because you're always being watched. And the biggest impact is when you speak to someone. And it only has to be one person. That one person that God has placed in front of you. If we turn to Luke 15 verse 7. So Luke 15 verse 7, Jesus said, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. That's right. For every one sinner that turns to Jesus Christ, there's a party in heaven. When you turned your life over to him, there was a party in heaven. And every single person who turns their life over to him, there's a party in heaven. The angels rejoice. Every single person is precious to God. And he grieves every single loss and celebrates every single child who returns to him. So you don't have to speak to the masses. You don't have to speak to the crowds. You just have to speak to the one person that the Lord places in front of you. Share your story, what Jesus has done for you, so that they can come to know him too. Because your testimony is also a hymn of praise, a hymn of how Jesus has saved you, and why you have so much joy and so much thankfulness in your heart. And on that note, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for reminding us of your greatness. We thank you that we should never take that greatness and what you've done for us for granted. As we've been reminded that you can and will work great things through us if we step out in faith. We ask that you help us to overcome the fears that hold us back, those chains that put us in bondage. Help us to, you know, we ask that you break those so that we can step out boldly into a world where we're able to proclaim your greatness and your truth and point the way to your light and your hope and your kingdom and your glory. Please look over us all as we go our own ways and walk the paths that you've laid out before us. Help us to take your word into those places that you put out for us and share it with those that you place in front of us. We thank you and we love you. Amen. and amen. And remember, as you go forward from here, you are loved and you are blessed. So go and be the church.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.